Hello and welcome to the Get Transformed podcast of Transformation Christian Fellowship. We are so excited that you are tuning in, and hope that you would be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Well, let's get into the Word so we will not labor the hour, and we'll get into what God has given me. Can I finish part two of what I started last Sunday, the pattern of prayer? Amen. Let's do this. Let's get into here and let's see what the Lord has to say. Y'all pray for me while I'm standing up here. You don't see it, but I'm low-key in pain. Amen. Let's go. Let's see what the Lord has to say here. Let's reread these verses again. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Let me stop right here for a second. Some people think, as I told you last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, we're here in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is telling them, giving them instructions on what not to do versus what to do. And one of the instructions that he's given as it is as it pertains to prayer, that's what we're focusing on. He gave many instructions, but he's giving specific instructions to his disciples. Say, I'm a disciple. And if you're not, you need to be. Amen. And so here we go, ladies and gentlemen. He's giving these instructions. In verse 5, he tells him, don't be like the hypocrites, or some translations will say, don't be like the heathens. Because number one, what they want to do is they like to be seen while praying. Meaning that, ladies and gentlemen, that they want to give off the appearance that they're spiritual. They want to give off the appearance that they're full of the Holy Ghost, but they're really full of hell inside of them. That's what they're saying. Jesus don't care about appearance, because you can fool us, but you can't fool God. You cannot fool God. Some people say God cannot be mocked. You hear what I said? And so he's telling them, listen, number one, Don't do this because what happens is that a lot of times we pattern our prayer lives after what we've seen. And when you pattern your prayer life of what you've seen and it wasn't the best example, then you start building bad habits and your prayer life is really ineffective. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to understand this. Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is not a ritual that we do. Prayer, the basis of prayer is from a relationship. It's from a relationship. Amen. Then he tells them, don't use vain repetitions. The reason why I'm moving fast like this, because I talked about it last Sunday. I got somewhere to go. Amen. Repetition. Don't. A lot of times what they were doing for the hour of prayer, because there were hours of prayer in Judaism. And so what they would do is take their time and be like, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Or, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they keep on going. And they ain't really said nothing to the Lord. They ain't really said nothing to the God. And so what we're doing is we do all these vain repetitions, making all these repetitions, and God, like, I know you talk more than this. You get what I'm saying? Like, we so vain with what we're saying, and we keep on saying it. Some people want to be like, well, I did all of that, and I prayed for an hour to check off the box that you prayed for an hour, but did you really pray? Did you really talk to God and really tell him what's on your mind and really get clarity from the Lord? Because prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is an open dialogue between you and God. And guess what? It's not a one-way street, because God does talk back. The reality, ladies and gentlemen, is that what people don't tell you is that the God of the Bible is a personable God. And so sometimes our view of God has been shaped by our worldview. And sometimes where you grew up in and all of that stuff shapes your worldview of God. But it's not until you get an intimate relationship with God for your own personal self where you can then be able to say that, oh, God is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Father. And I can identify with him as my Father. Are you hearing what I say to you? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, he does all of that. And what he's going to do now is introduce to us the disciples' prayer. I told you last Sunday, I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. We coined it the Lord's Prayer, but what does the Lord need a model of prayer for? He's God. Right. He's giving this to you. Right. It's almost like this. What does an instructor need a manual for? He knows it. You need it. He don't need it. You do. Because guess what? Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he goes away. You have to understand that at that time, they didn't need to pray because Jesus is right there. God, wrapped up in flesh, is right there in front of them. He don't need to pray. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus comes so that we can have the access to the Father, direct access to the Father. And I'm going to get into this in just a second because I want to give some clarity on something. And so listen, I told you last week is that prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is the disciples' basis of prayer is on an intimate relationship with God. And so he says this, let's go here, verse 9, it says, in this manner, let's read it therefore, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Can I stop right here for a second? I want to also give you another scripture really quickly because I want to explain something that I didn't get a chance to explain last week. Amen. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Hill, the senior pastor here at Transformation Christian Fellowship. Listen, at if any moment, if you feel led by the Spirit of God to give, you can text TCF1 to 94000. Again, you can text TCF to 94000. Your generosity transforms the lives of those not only in our community, but those who are around the country. Giving to our outreach partners and being able to do different things in the community will definitely be able to allow us to touch the hearts with your seed. God bless you as you give, and remember, transformation starts here. Let's see here. Let's go here. John 16. Here we go. I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation. This is the words of Jesus. Then he says, then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. I want to explain something to you for a second. Jesus, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, right? But Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is telling the disciples that then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. What Jesus is trying to tell us is that you got to come to the Father for yourself. You have to understand that there is, while we talk about, and I don't have time to really break this down, but we talk about the triuneness of God, that he's God the Father, the Son, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three different entities, but still functioning as one. Hear me and hear me good, ladies and gentlemen. What Jesus did was repair and fix a relationship that was broken in the garden so that you can have access in the authority of the Son's name. So that you can come to God, the Father. Look at somebody, say, don't be scared coming to God, the Father. You have access in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that this intimate relationship that Jesus is trying to push his disciples to understand that when we pray, we are praying directly to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. Meaning that you have the access under the authority that you've been given upon your salvation to come boldly, as the Hebrew writer said, and ask for mercy in the time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't got to be shy coming to God. It's almost like this in The Wizard of Oz, the original movie. In The Wizard of Oz, you had them and they were coming to see Oz, ladies and gentlemen. They were coming to see him and they were all afraid and they were trembling up there to really see him, and he was hiding behind a curtain. But God ain't hiding behind no curtain. Jesus told us that you have this direct access to come to the Father. Because God the Father is not hiding from us, especially when you have the Son's name with you. Oh my God, because of my access through my regeneration in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, now I am adopted as a son of the Most High God, and I have nothing to be afraid of because I got direct access that I can enter in his gates with thanksgiving, and I can enter his courts with praise and being thankful unto him and blessing his name. Ladies and gentlemen, you have access directly with the Father.
I don't have to go through no bishop. I don't got to go through no pastor. You don't got to come through me to get to God. All you got to do is come to God all by yourself. And God is waiting to see you. The Bible says if you draw near unto me, I'll draw near unto you. God is not hiding from you. God is not hiding and not wanting you to come to him. God, hold on, let me tell you something. The day Jesus was on that cross and he said it was finished. And when he said that into your spirit, I commend my spirit. Guess what? The veil tore on the day when Jesus finished the work on that cross. That means that every barrier between you and God was separated. It was torn in two from top to bottom. Hallelujah.
All right.
Glory, everything has been torn. That's why I can come to my daddy just as I am. There's a hymn of the church that used to say, and just as I am without a plea, the Lamb of God.
Here we go. He says, listen, here we go, verse 27, for the Father himself, what'd he say? For what did he say? The Father himself does what?
Love you dearly.
Because you love me and believe that I came from God.
That's it.
Say the Father loves me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his best. You see, you listen to this lie that because of who you are, you feel like God don't love you. God loves you. Listen, it's like any parent. I can love you at all times. Don't mean I have to like everything you do. Because I don't like everything you do. But I love you because you're mine. Here's the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, while all of us are God's creation, all of us are not his children. But yet he still loved the world that he gave. But the special relationship that we have is that now that he gave and we accepted his gift, he hears the prayers of the righteous. I got to move. I have so much to go to. All right, here we go. Let's move. So let's go to. Let's go. So I said, prayer seeks the glory of God's first. Okay, I told you last week that prayer seeks God's glory first. This is the model that Jesus gave us. He says, hallowed be your name, meaning hallowed be the name of the Father in all of the earth. And what's so great about it is because we have access in the name of Jesus, Jesus has been given a name that's above the heavens and the earth, that we have access to use his name. The authority to use his name. I ain't going to do that because that's what stopped us last Sunday, and I can't get, we're going to keep it moving. Amen. All right. Because y'all start acting crazy, and then I can't finish. Amen. It's like, no. First, let's go point three. The disciples long for the coming of God's kingdom and doing his will. They long for the coming of God's kingdom. Here we go. Verse 10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I help you? Ladies and gentlemen, God's will concerning everything under the heavens have already been established in the heavens. Here's the thing of why we pray for God's will to be done, because there is a lot of blockages from it coming from heaven down to the earth. What am I trying to tell you? That God, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it this way. A lot of people think that the devil is God's adversary. He's not. God has no rivals. He has no equals, ladies and gentlemen. The devil is your adversary. Jesus told him, the devil, your adversary, Peter, is looking to sift you as wheat. But I pray that your faith won't fail. What am I trying to tell you? Let me give you another example. In the book of Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel set himself to pray. He was trying to get revelation from the dream that he had. And the Bible would tell us that for 21 days, Daniel prayed. And then finally, an angel, this angel is unnamed, so I'm not going to tell you if it was Gabriel or not, because the Bible don't say. Every time Gabriel's mentioned, his name is mentioned in scripture. So this unnamed angel, ladies and gentlemen, he comes and gives him a revelation that God heard him on the first day he began to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, God has already answered your prayer on the first time. What am I trying to tell you? It was already settled in heaven. Here is what the issue was, that the angel says that there was a principality in Persia that was holding me up to try to get here to you. You have to understand that the devil, your adversary, is trying to frustrate the plans of God. And there's demonic principalities. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. No, but principalities, powers, and oh my God, authorities, and wickedness in high places that you don't see. There is a realm that you don't see, but it's just as real as the realm that we live in. And guess what? There's principalities and powers holding up certain things from coming to you. But this is where you kick in the intercession, that because you don't see it upon the first time you pray, you keep on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking until hell got the back up. Look at somebody, say, your will be done, Lord. It don't matter what calls on, your will be done. You gotta keep praying. You can't get frustrated in this thing, because the devil will wait you out. But you gotta tell the devil, you can wait me out, but I can wait you out a little longer. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know my prayers is answered. So I have to pray. Holy Ghost, I feel you helping me now. Listen, he says, listen, you gotta pray your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is, meaning as it is already in heaven. Look at somebody, say, you gotta bring the reality of heaven and pray it through on the earth. Jesus is trying to teach you, you bring the reality of heaven and you bring it into the natural realm, because it's already been done in the unseen realm. You just got to bring that thing through in prayer. Here's what problem is. People get frustrated when they don't see it immediately. And what Jesus is teaching you is that you have to pray for God's will to be done. After you give God glory, you pray for his will to be manifested. Why? Because your will, how is the earth is going to come to see Jesus, is that we have to pray for his will to be done on earth as it already is in heaven. You say, your will be done. But here's what we do. Lord, my will be done. We pray for your will, your desire to be done, instead of you praying for God's will to be done. God is not obligated to bless anything that he hasn't sanctioned. And if your personal will don't match up to his, that's why you ain't gonna see it. And guess what? Your answer has probably already been answered. And it was already probably a no. But guess what? You keep on coming to him and thinking that God is gonna bless you with something that's gonna hurt you. Oh, I just want him to get better in their relationship. He don't want you to be with him. He don't want you to be with her. Oh, God, I just was praying for I get that certain job. And guess what? The reason why God said no is because in a few more months, that thing about to get laid off. And that's going to infect you. And you don't understand, sometimes God knows are the best thing that will ever happen in your life.
Can I be honest? Nobody likes a no, but there's sometimes there's the majority of times when God tells you no, it's for a greater purpose and there's a greater reason. And a lot of times people don't want to keep praying because you're scared of rejection. But can I help you? You got to get over that rejection this morning, because guess what? That's why you ain't seeing the supernatural in your life. It's because you are scared of rejection. And God is saying, don't be worried about rejection, because sometimes a rejection is the, oh my God, is a direction and trying to direct you in the right path so that you can get on my will. And so, because if you get on my will, once you start asking in my name, you'll start praying in the right manner instead of praying amiss. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We long for his will to be done. We got to move. Amen. I'm working against the clock, but I'm trying to get us out here on time. Here we go. Can I give you the next thing? Then here he goes. He switches. He said, disciples express dependence on God for daily sustenance. For our daily sustenance. What does Jesus then model here to us again? So he says this. Then after you ask for God's will to be done, then express your dependence on him, on God the Father. And he says it, give us this day our daily bread. Ladies and gentlemen, why does he use bread and give us this day our daily bread? Because it alludes to what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. That God brought manna from heaven daily for their need. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is what expresses our dependency on God. Can I help you and I today? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I can be very arrogant at times. Let's be truthful. You and I, oh, I'm humbled, Pastor. You a liar. And the truth ain't in you. Reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I can be very arrogant at times. And we can be very hard-headed at times. And very set in our ways and stubborn. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we think that we know more than the Father. And you think that you know what you need versus what he needs. And so that's why you don't pray. Because when you don't pray and you say that you are a disciple of Christ, what you are expressing is that you are not a disciple, but you are someone who uses the Lord when you need him. And when you don't need him, you cast him away. Because when you feel as though that you know the answer to the problem without first consulting the one who's the problem solver, you have an issue. Because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, if we really be honest and really honest about it, we have to understand that your dependency, our life source is based upon our connection with our Heavenly Father. And when you pray, you start expressing your dependency that God has said, it's okay to be dependent. It is okay to be dependent, but it matters who you're dependent on. Oh, so you're saying that I just do nothing? No, I'm not saying for you not to do nothing. What I'm saying to you is you express dependency in your Heavenly Father, understanding that it is through him that your needs will be met. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand when you pray, you are dependent on God to be your provider. You are dependent on God to be your source. You are saying that, listen, God, you have to make a way, or give me the directions to help make a way. Ladies and gentlemen, so here what we're saying. Let's go to John 6, verse 31. It says, our fathers ate the manna in the desert as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. It wasn't from Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people that you think that it came from and it didn't come from him. Ladies and gentlemen, most assuredly I say unto you, your job did not give you the bread from heaven. When you see somebody blesses you on the random, while God used them, but it was really from God. Because God impressed upon them to bless you.
You getting it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, the job is the resource, but it ain't the source. Listen, the source uses the resource as the means to get it to you, but it's still from him. Oh my God, I feel like preaching now. Reality is, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that your full dependency, you got to know where it is coming from. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I was just having a conversation not too long ago with EP. Well, I think it was earlier this week. And so we were having a conversation, and something I was encouraging him with is like, you have to trust God with people. Because believe it or not, God uses people. God uses people. Hear what I'm saying. God uses people. Can we all be honest in the room? I don't like all of God's people. But it's so randomly at times that God uses the least likely people to bless you. But some people are so hard-headed, they'll be like, I ain't taking nothing from that person. I ain't taking nothing from them. Yeah. You have to realize sometimes we have to get over ourselves and realize that, guess what? God uses people in all shapes, sizes, and no matter what type of attitudes it is. God uses people. Because the reality is, even the manager who you had a hard time with, they still got to write up what God tell them to write. Because if they don't, they going to get infected. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to tell you? That guess what? Can I tell you something? God still had to move upon the... I'm going to give you this revelation that just hit me right now. You know, while God used Moses to set his people free, God still did the plagues to harden the heart of Pharaoh. Because at the end of the day, Pharaoh had to say they could go. Hear what I'm telling you. The enemy who has oppressed them had to tell them they could go. Because God impressed after the plagues that if he don't let them go, more would come. So to save the little bit of his kingdom, the enemy, their enemy. I will prepare a table before you in front of who? God uses people. What am I trying to get towards you? It don't matter if you don't like them or not. You ain't gonna always work with people you like. You're not always gonna feel like you like the people or get something from. But guess what? If it is of God, you need to accept it. Because it's the God in you that's gonna impact them. And it is the God in you that is impacting them. Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Daily sustenance. Here we go. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Here we go. Then he says, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, when you know where your source comes from, you don't never want to leave it. You don't never want to ever depend on yourself again. Ladies and gentlemen, when we don't depend on our Father, we're living as orphans and not living in our inheritance. Say you need to live in your inheritance. My inheritance is an heir of Christ. It's an heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir with him. That means that what he receives, I receive. All right, let's move. Let me move. Here we go. Oh, I'm doing good. Here we go. Embedded into the model of prayer is a petition for forgiveness and an expression of a desire to forgive others. What Jesus shows us, ladies and gentlemen, is that you must pray for forgiveness. A disciple prays for forgiveness. What are we saying here? Let's go back to the scripture where it's where he gives us this in Matthew. Let me go back here for a second. He says, and okay, EP beat me to it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All right, let's go on a little study for a second. Can I help you? 1 second. Can I help us all? Here we go. Our debts has to deal with our sin. Our debts, ladies and gentlemen, when we repent of our offenses that we have done against God. So, and forgive us our debts as we who forgive our debtors. So here we go. Forgive us. Can we help? Can I help give you a clear translation? So what he's saying is, and forgive us of our offense as we forgive our those who make offense against us. Why? Because I can't ask to be forgiven for my offense that if I'm still holding on the fence myself. That's what Jesus is coming for. Matter of fact, he even says it later in verse 16 again. Why? It's because you can't ask God to forgive you of your offenses that you have offended him. But you still holding on, so you stand in place as God for somebody else and hold on our sin, hold on to their sin, but you want God of the universe to let go of yours. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about, here's another aspect I want to give you about forgiveness of our offenses. That's where Jesus teaches you that in prayer, the life of a disciple is based upon a life of continual repentance.
That's right.
And I know people don't want to talk about repentance because it ain't a trendy word. People don't like to hear about repentance, but that's the truth. Jesus came with it. Repent ye therefore, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have offended God. And the word repent simply means to change your mind. Let me tell you something. As I told you in the Inside Man series, you have to realize is that you ain't going to have it together overnight once you get saved. Because you have to understand, you have to break down a lifelong of sin, meaning that certain systems and mindsets that you had that was under the control of the world, God is stripping you down from it so that you can now have the mindset of the kingdom and the mindset of God in you, so that you can do as Philippians says, and Paul says in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, holiness, while you become holy on that day and God sees you as holy. But guess what? Now what we're doing is living in a lifelong process of sanctification so that we can be sanctified in what God already has put for us. He already sees you sanctified, but I'm in the process of being sanctified. God sees you as holy, but I'm in the process of already being set apart so that I can look even more like him. Ladies and gentlemen, so he says, you have to let go of our offenses. I like what Garland wrote. He says, forgiveness is not dependent on our having forgiven others first, but persons should not expect to receive from God what they are not prepared to bestow on others. So if you holding on to forgiveness on these individuals, yeah, you've been wrong. Yes, you have every right to hold on to that stuff, but you also have every right to be free. You also have every right to be whole. You also have every right, ladies and gentlemen, to no longer hold on to what has been oppressing you in your spirit. You also have the right to no longer let that trigger be a trigger in your life anymore. You have the right for freedom. Say, I have the right of freedom. Here we go. Here we go. Ephesians 4, chapter 32. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Here we go. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me tell you something. God has already casted all your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He didn't forget about it. You still, and here's the problem with people, because you trying to remember stuff God has already forgotten because of your consciousness. If God has forgiven you, move on. Because if you don't, you're going to get right back in the same thing you trying to ask God for forgiveness for. He said, so we're forgiving one another. You made an offense against me, I got to forgive you. Now, here we go. Forgiveness does not mean, ladies and gentlemen, that we put the person back in the same place that we first had them at. But it means that I'm letting go of it, and if there's room for reconciliation, reconciliation happens. But if it don't happen, then I still have allowed myself to now decompress all of that which I had held in, and it's all out in the open, and it's already been resolved. Amen.
Hey, everyone. I'm Brandon Hill, the senior pastor here at Transformation Christian Fellowship, alongside my lovely wife.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leticia Hill.
And we want to invite you to summer at Transformation Christian Fellowship. Woo! It's going down. Hey, sweetie, tell them a little bit about what's going down every Sunday.
Absolutely. Come and enjoy the summer with us every Sunday in those months. We are going to be celebrating after service with special events for you and your family.
Yes, you and your family are going to have a great time here with our community. Let's build community. Let's have fun. Enjoy Jesus all summer long. And as well as we have some outreach initiatives that are going down that we want you to be a part of here at TCF. Listen, for more information, go to our website so you can stay connected. Also, follow us in all of our social media pages as you keep it locked on the summer here at TCF. Listen, we want to invite you every Sunday, so bring a friend, because you never know what we're going to do during service to bless somebody.
Throw some curveballs in.
Yeah, exactly. So you do not want to miss it. And remember, transformation starts here.
Here we go. Last thing, here we go. It says, a plea for God's protection in testing. Jesus gives us the pattern, ladies and gentlemen, that when we all face tests, what does he say? What does he say to us, ladies and gentlemen? He says it here in verse 13. Here we go. And it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Bloomberg contends that the most likely reading is don't let us succumb to temptation, or don't abandon us to temptation. That's not the best translation of it here in the New King James Version, because it really should read that do not let us succumb to the temptation, because you're going to get led into temptation. I'm going to explain something to you. Jesus, after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him in for a time of testing. Hear me. God does not tempt. But in your testing, there could be some temptation within the test. Yeah. Temptation does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. Testing God brings. But oftentimes in the test, there's a temptation to quit in the test. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to tell you is that what Jesus tells us is that, and do not let, what we're praying of the Father is, don't let us succumb to the temptation that's trying to come upon me. Don't allow me to, don't abandon me while I'm facing, or don't abandon us to the temptation. Don't give me over to what it's trying to overtake me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're in a test right now, but you need to ask the Lord, don't allow me to come over. Don't let me to be overcome by what's trying to get me. Don't allow me to be, don't abandon me out here by myself. Lord God, I need your protection, Father, around me while I'm going through the test that I'm in. Lord Jesus, don't abandon me to the cancer that's trying to arise. Don't abandon me to whatever sickness is that trying to arise. Don't abandon me to whatever a job situation, a health situation, or family situation. Don't abandon me here. That's what he's saying. You have to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a plea for God's protection, ladies and gentlemen. It is a plea asking the Father to protect you while you're in the test. He didn't say away from the test, but while you're in it. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you last week, the one thing all of us have in common, no matter your skin color, no matter if you're male or female, the one thing we all got in common is this: all of us have to deal this thing called life. And none of us are exempt from this thing called life. Life be lifing. That's what they say. Life be lifing. And the truth is, that is the truth. Life be lifing at times. When I look at my account, I said, my God, this sucks. Especially when you had to pay it. The other day, I sidebar for a second. You know, I was at High's gas station, and I began to cry inside. Because there was a day where my little car could take about $20, $25, and I'd be good for the rest of the week. Not anymore. You put $40, $45 in, and I'm like, what is this? And then it feels like the gas you're getting is cheap, because it'd be gone in 2 days. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere. I said, Lord, protect me from these gas prices. Do something. Help me. I went to the grocery store. I'm like, Lord, I don't even eat eggs. My wife does. I don't even eat them. And I gotta pay $14. What is this? I was about to tell her, listen, you gonna, eggs is a wrap. No more. No more. Not going here no more. Man, I'm about to get to a place, man. I normally would throw those coupons away in the trash and all that stuff. Man, not no more. About to start using some scissors, cutting out some stuff. Man, you're going to have to bring back that change jar, man. Start using cash again. You know, at the end of the year, you count your little coins up and then you put in the machine and oh, thank God, $200, amen. See, when that's why they trying to get you into moving more towards a cashless society, because I'd be looking at them tellers when I'd be bringing it in that time. I brought it in one time with all change, and they did. Yeah, you're going to have to count this, sweetie. Amen. Them tellers don't want to be seeing it, but yeah, you're going to see mine today. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to pray and ask God for this protection. Here we go, and we're getting out of here. Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, it says, here we go. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. What are we talking about? You ain't unique. It's common. Life is common for all of us. While you hearing a little Pastor Brandon story about eggs, you got the story too. That's why you're laughing. We all in this together. Except which is common to man. That means this, ladies and gentlemen, that every person who ever lived on the face of the earth has gone go through this thing called life. You are not exempt. Here's the problem. People give their life to Christ and think that, oh, I'm exempt from trouble. No, you're not. Who lied to you? Who deceived you to think it's going to be roses and Candyland stuff all the time? You a liar. It's not going to be that way. Jesus told you, he didn't even promise the disciples that. He said, in this life, you are going to have trouble. He didn't say, if you're going to have trouble. He said, in this life, you will have trouble. Trouble is a sure thing about this life. And as I told you last week, what is so amazing that how heaven stares down and the angels stare down is because, and the reason why the devil sometimes and them don't fully understand certain things is because they don't understand how a person can experience life and still trust God. Because they haven't had to go through this. Can I give you something? It was the ignorance or the arrogance, excuse me, it was the arrogancy of Satan to believe that if I took Job's stuff, he would curse your name. If I take his money, take his family, take all of this stuff, I bet you he would curse your name. Because the angels and the fallen angels, let me put it this way. The fallen angels have studied humanity. And they understand that humanity, there's some who loves their stuff. So they misread what Job was all about. Woo!
Let me tell you something. I hope I got some people in here that the enemy and the fallen angels have missed on some things about some of us in this room, because it ain't the stuff that makes me who I am. I am who I am because of the grace of God that has been applied to me. I am not my stuff, and the stuff don't make me who I am. And the stuff, ladies and gentlemen, does not take away from who my God is. My God is still who he is, with stuff or without anything. How do I know this? Because Job says, God, the Lord giveth, hallelujah, and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. My praise is not contingent on my stuff. My praise is not contingent, ladies and gentlemen, of what God gives me. My praise is contingent on the fact of who God is. Ladies and gentlemen, he misread some things about Job. He attacked him in his family. He attacked, oh my God, his stuff, and attacked him in his body. But guess what? At the end of the day, Job said that now I know my Redeemer lives. Because guess what? You can attack all the stuff, but guess what? All I got to do is endure this little light affliction, because it's working in me an eternal weight of glory. You got to realize that even in your place where you're going through tests, ladies and gentlemen, that guess what? The gold gotta go through pressure in order for it to come out as pure. You gotta understand the olive, in order for it to come out as oil, has to be crushed. But guess what? The crushing is not to discourage your spirit. The crushing is not to take you and not take away your belief in God, but it's to mold you and shape you. Cause the Bible says after you then suffered a while, you will come out a established.
Look at somebody, say, after God get done with you, you ain't gonna be lacking anything. You're gonna have nothing missing, nothing broken, but you're all gonna have all sufficiency for every good work. Encourage somebody in the Lord and say, hold on, you just gotta hold on. You gotta outlast what is trying to get you. You gotta outlast that's trying to get you down. You just gotta overcome over it.
Shandalamasuya. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what season of test you're in. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but don't get weary in doing well. Don't you get weary in doing good, because there is coming a season. Oh my God, we've been man to a thorn night. Oh, but it's just one night. It's just one night. I don't know how long the night is, but it's just one night, because there's a time that's coming that those sold in tears will reap in joy. Look at somebody, say, joy is coming. Joy, I feel like burning. Joy is coming. Look at somebody, say, it won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. Because just in a little while, I'm gonna receive what God has given me.
Listen, I don't care what you're going through, but that's called life. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When you get through all of it, when you get through all of it, that's why when it says we have a song that the angels cannot sing, that I've been redeemed, oh my God, from the hand of the enemy. I got a story this morning. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased by blood, born of the Spirit. Look at somebody, say, I got a story.
Stop. Come get this song. I gotta go.
But I got a story. I got a story. And when I get through out of this, when I get out of this, when I overcome this, when I get over this, I know for a fact that on the other side awaits for me, on the other side awaits for me what God has promised me.
Somebody say, you just gotta outweigh it. Outlive it. Outlive it. Outlive it. Grandma Curly, we gotta outlive it. Just in a little while. Just in a little while. He will not tarry. Out on the vision way. Tarry, wait for it. For in a little while. Say glory. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, you're gonna be all right. Cause he promised to never leave you. He promised. He promised. And he can't lie. He's not like man that he shall lie. Neither is he the son of man that he shall repent. But if he promised, he'll never leave me. He said, if you go and make your bed in hell, I'll still be there. He promised. I ain't gonna lie to you. Let me tell you something. There's sometimes where sometimes I come in here, and let me tell you, the week I feel discouraged. Oh my God, as you've been walking with God, there's sometimes where you get discouraged and you get low, but there's when you got to remind yourself, I'm in a race and I'm not done running. Hallelujah. I hear my grandparents say, run on and see what the end's gonna be bringing. Cause on the other side. Bow, wait. On the other side. And though you feel like life is life, God gonna raise you up. Lift your hands to heaven. I'm finished. I love my soul on my side. When you've done all you can, stand. Stand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Stand. Because you're with me. Because you're with me. Because you're with me. I will not fear. That's the only assurance I have. Because you're with me. Because you're with me. Because you're with me, I will not fear. Sir, come here for a second. I feel this. You come here. This message was for you, man. This message was for you. You mind if I lay my hands on you? I lay my hands on you, brother. Enemy wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to sift you. You a new babe in Christ. You don't know the whole story, and that's fine. I hear you. Grief would have took your... Grief has tried to, like, really get you, man. I don't know who just died. Yeah, okay. Your brother just passed? Yeah, I just saw that. Grief has been trying to grip you, man, and take away your joy. Make you second guess if this whole God thing, especially if this Jesus thing, is even worth it. But I'm here as a man of God and as a prophet, as if I be a prophet before the Lord. All you got to do is outlive what's trying to overcome your spirit today. And today,
I decree and declare over your life, grief will not overcome you today. But I decree and declare that in the coming days, even right now as I lay my hands on you, I feel like your heart is being lifted before God right now, and all the walls are breaking down even right now.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You don't have to be afraid of God. God is not afraid of your questions. And God is not afraid of what you have to say. He wants to hear you. Don't be discouraged today. But the word of the Lord is coming to you that just in a little while, if you don't faint, you are going to experience days of joy. Also, here it is concerning you today as it pertains to your living situation and money and all of that stuff. Don't you worry about it today. And it's been hard because I'm also going to warn you, those who you're looking for leadership with because of the passing of your mom and your brother, those who you really looked up to, you better be careful who you're looking to. Because everybody who's looking, you're looking to don't got your best interest, but it's going to lead you down a bad path. And now it don't look like it. It don't look like it. It don't look like it at first because they come as sheep. But they're really wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm prophesying over you today that this man of God, you will be a man of God before him. You will have a testimony. You will serve the Lord with gladness today in the name of Jesus. I encourage you today that from this moment, do not do life alone. You can't be in isolation. You need to find a church, and I'm not telling you to come here. If that's your decision, that's your decision. This is not me calling you out for this. I'm calling you out because if I don't, it's going to overcome you. And today, as I stand before you and stand before God in front of his people today, I arrest the spirit of grief and its hold on you. And even this, I even see this over your mind today. And over your mind, the mental battles that you've gone through and that you've faced, the voices that you've been hearing, my faith with yours today. We're going to pray for healing today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm praying for your health today. I'm praying for your health today. Everything that you believe the Lord has showed you is still going to come to pass. Everything. You will not leave out of here before what God has promised will manifest itself. And I decree and declare the same fear that is erecting your heart right now, because all the other women in your family will not come to you. In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that now. You don't have to be afraid. God's going to be with you every step of the way. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do. I'm not going to announce over this mic what I've seen. I'm just going to enjoy my prayer with you today. And I just believe God by faith today. It's okay. It's all right. Because God remembered you today. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Shiyanamaya. Oh, I remembered you today. God remembered you today. I said, you're going to outlive what's trying to lick out, take you out. You're going to outlive it. Shout out, you're going to outlive it. You're going to outlive it. Shomamasoya. Come on, I need you to pray in this room, church. Open your mouth. Come on, Zion. Come on, open your mouth. I need you to pray. She gonna outlive it today. Oh, I will not fear. God, our Father, who art in heaven, I pray right now over this woman of God as I lay my hands upon her. As I lay my hands upon her right now, I decree and declare that every manner of disease is drying up now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I decree and declare by your authority that I have in your name, Jesus, that you're going to hear my prayer. And you're hearing the prayers of the righteous now. God, comfort her soul. Comfort her spirit. In the name of Jesus. Because you are the God that healeth thee. You are the God that changeth not. The same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the power of the Holy Ghost is touching now. In the name of Jesus. I honor your presence. I honor your presence. I honor your presence now. I got to dismiss service. We got stuff to do. I feel his glory in here. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for his glory now. In the name of Jesus. I just sense there's a healing presence in this room today. It's such a healing presence in this room today. There's such a healing presence. If you need the power of God to heal you today, just lift up your hands to heaven. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God, I pray right now, heal every mindset in this room today. I decree and declare right now that I decree and declare your lucid minds right now in the name of Jesus. Your lucid minds today in the name of Jesus. Your lucid minds. I just got to do what the Spirit is telling me to do. You right there in the hat, right there. You. The Lord just told me in my ear just now, I am breaking every anxious thought that you got in your mind right now in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that Right now, there's a hidden battle that you're going through. I will not pronounce it over the phone out of respect for privacy, but there's a hidden battle that you're going through in your mind right now, and I decree and declare by the power of God, you are going to go to sleep tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare you're going to sleep tonight. I decree and declare every anxious thought, every anxiety that you have concerning what I'm talking about right now, is that God is going to give you his peace today. God ain't giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I decree and declare that God is giving you a sound mind today. A sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind. Not only this, but I also hear this too. Listen, I decree and declare, I don't know what just happened or transpired recently, but I decree and declare and I cancel a spirit of depression that's trying to overtake you now. I cancel that now. I see that enemy for what it is. And I decree and declare right now, your dreams are still to be done. I decree and declare that now. Don't you worry about it.
Yes, Lord.
The spirit of grace is trying to let you know today that he's remembered you. And remember that, listen, there is nothing that you do, that you face in secret that he has not seen. There's nothing you'll face in secret that he has not seen. And guess what? He called you out today as a reminder that I'm the God who sees. I'm Elroy. I am the God who sees. Sweetie, lay your hands on her. If you don't mind, lay your hands on her. In the name of Jesus, we're getting out of here. Hallelujah. We break it now by the power of the Holy Ghost. We break it by the right now in the power of the Holy Ghost. We say in the name of Jesus, sound mind, wisdom, clarity is coming to her in the name of Jesus, God. Wisdom, clarity in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that heartbreak will not overcome you today. That heartbreak ain't gonna overcome you today. In the name of Jesus, you are God's child. You are God's child. In the name of Jesus. I don't want to break the spirit that's in this room, but listen, if this word was for you, I want you to sow this seed. We believe that you give according to your ability. We don't tell you what to give, but if the Lord has put an amount on your spirit, that's what you give today in the name of Jesus. I'm dismissing the service. The offering stuff is on the screen. Listen, don't shut the live off. Just put the giving information in front of them. I want to pronounce a blessing over every person. Those of us, or those of our partners who are watching online, get your seed ready in your hand, because I'm believing that God is going to do something great this week. Listen, when I came in this room today, we still a little short on money for rent. But guess what? I decree and declare by the power of God, there's provision today that God is going to meet the next amount of money that we need today in the name of Jesus. And I believe by the power of God that it's going to happen in Jesus' name. I believe that whatever you need or that's held up, money held up or anything, is coming to your account this week in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare by the power of God. So, Lord God, bless every person. person who's going to give right now in the name of Jesus. Those who are watching online, those who are in person today, we believe your word and what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. God, we thank you, oh God, that you said in your word, give and it shall be given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, and runneth over in the name of Jesus. Shall men give unto our bosom? Yes, they will. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. And we thank you for your power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to dismiss a little different. I want you to get with somebody and pray for them before we dismiss service. Come on, let's pray. Pray for the person that you're standing next to. Get in a circle, I don't care. Pray for them. We're going to dismiss this praying for one another, encouraging one another on our way out. Come on, let's pray. Open your...
Thanks for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. We hope that you would subscribe so you can continue to be empowered by the latest message. For more information about Transformation Christian Fellowship or Pastor Brandon Hill, visit our website, transformationchristianfellowship.org, or download our free mobile app on the App Store or Google Play Store. If you would like to support this ministry, simply text TCF1 to the number 94000 or visit our website. We thank you for your generosity and for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. And remember, transformation starts here.